Because it changed the world forever in a way that nothing else ever happened. So on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus were gathered together, and they were frightened and they were worried, and all they could do was pray. And then the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit who Jesus had promised and who God had promised in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came and equipped people in a way that the Holy Spirit hadn't done. In the past, in the Old Testament, a few individuals are said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, the Holy Spirit has come to equip every single follower of Jesus. And that group of disciples were fearful and weak. Does that remind you of how anybody else feels? Sometimes we can feel, can't we? Fearful and weak. And that fearful and weak handful of disciples were transformed into a group of people who were courageous, strengthened, made bold, and empowered. And they changed the world, filled with the Holy Spirit, as promised. And of course, the Holy Spirit is available for you and me. So you and I can be courageous, strengthened, bold, empowered, and we can change things. We can change people's lives. We can change the world around us, people around us. The Holy Spirit, who brings the fruit of the Spirit to strengthen our character, strengthen us on the inside, and he brings the gifts of the Spirit so that we have power, like Jesus, to change things. And today, I want to ask, well, I'll come to that question in a moment. First of all, that's my picture of Pentecost. Now, our projector doesn't make the most out of our pictures, and it actually looks much clearer on the laptop. But that's a picture of Pentecost. And do you know, I looked up lots of images of Pentecost, and there were lots of them with tongues of fire coming onto, you know, the disciples' heads, etc., etc. And lots of people think about that when they think about Pentecost. But actually, I prefer this picture. And the reason I prefer this picture, I'm not sure how clearly you can see it, but there you have one of the disciples speaking the gospel. And then back there, you've got, there's a woman there who appears to be speaking to this little group. And you've got that guy there talking to him. And you've got someone over there. There's lots of pictures of the disciples out there speaking to all kinds of different peoples. And there were people from all sorts of different nations. Because the point of the Holy Spirit is the difference that he makes. Yeah, the point of the Holy Spirit is the difference that he makes. It's not that we go, oh, great. The Holy Spirit comes, isn't that wonderful? No, it's the Holy Spirit comes, yeah, but it's the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. I'm going to show you how in Ephesians, Paul pretty much says the same thing. We will come to that shortly. So my question for you today is, now see that picture of Jesus looks better than the laptop as well. And he promised, didn't he? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and that's for you, that's a promise for you, and it's a promise for me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the question for us to consider today, what am I doing with the Holy Spirit? What am I doing with the Holy Spirit in my life? And what am I doing with his gifts? Yeah. I want to challenge you with that question. And during communion, what we're going to do is we're going to distribute communion in the middle here, and then I'm going to be on one side, Al will be on the other, and we're going to be anointing people with oil. And if you'd like, come over to one of us, and we will anoint you with oil, and we will pray for you that God will fill you so overflowing with his Holy Spirit. No, we need to, you're probably already filled with Holy Spirit, but even if you're not, whether you are or not, God's got more. Yeah. So we're going to anoint you with oil. Pray that you're filled with Holy Spirit and that you receive all the gifts that he's got for you, and if you've already received them, that God will develop them, strengthen them, and empower you, okay? So that when we all walk out of here this morning, we're all going to know that, yeah, I'm getting on with the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting on with his gifts as well. I'm going to do the stuff that God wants me to do. So what are you doing with the Holy Spirit and his gifts? I just wanted to go through a few do's and don'ts with the Holy Spirit, okay? First, do welcome him. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And we should eagerly desire not just spiritual gifts, but the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit. We should be thinking about the Holy Spirit as our very best friend. Because, you know how I said, it's what the Holy Spirit does that's important. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't actually achieve anything that's worthwhile. Yeah? And so therefore, we have to cultivate our friendship with him so that he is our best friend. Don't call him it. He's our best friend. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Do ask. We're so encouraged to ask all the time in the Bible, and Jesus encourages us to ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, Jesus speaking, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Then don't limit the Holy Spirit. Don't limit what he can do, and don't limit yourself, by the way. Because what we tend to do is we limit ourselves and we think that the Holy Spirit can't do any more than what we limit ourselves to. But don't limit ourselves, don't limit the Holy Spirit. Do keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in Galatians 5:25. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit means listening to him and doing what he asks us to do. Keeping in step because he's walking with us. He's our best friend walking with us. We keep in step. Don't grieve him. The things that grieve the Holy Spirit are things that we do wrong, basically. It's sin. That's how we grieve him. So keep in step with him. That prevents the Holy Spirit from being grieved because we're obeying him. If we don't, then we grieve him. Do praise and thank him for his gifts. You know, we praise and thank the Father, the Son. Praise and thank the Holy Spirit too. Then don't quench the Holy Spirit. We can be so guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit. The very next verse, this is from 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The very next verse says, don't treat prophecies with contempt. And sometimes we can treat the gifts of the Holy Spirit with contempt, especially if we feel they're a bit beyond us. So for example, speaking in tongues, right? Speaking in tongues is in the Bible. The disciples of Jesus spoke in tongues. Lots of Christians speak in tongues. I speak in tongues, right? But because it's not familiar to you, you might go, oh, dodgy. Yeah? It's in the Bible. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues, but don't disparage it. Don't be cynical about gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't fear gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says don't treat prophecies with contempt. You know, if someone speaks out a word from God, let's bless that. Yeah? We do have to weigh it. We do have to consider, is that really God speaking? But if we think it may well be, then let's bless it. There's other quenchers, like I can't. You know, if you use that phrase a lot, I can't. Especially with spiritual things, I can't. I'll never speak in tongues. I'll never get a word from God, etc. Those are quenches of the Holy Spirit. And then not stepping out in faith. You know, if we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the idea is that we use them. And so therefore, we have to step out in faith and use them, which is always a scary thing to do, especially as I was speaking to somebody recently who has a prophetic gift, who said to me, I always only get the first few words. And then I'm panicking, and I'm thinking, What if nothing else happens? Not, you know, God doesn't say the rest. The first few words don't make a lot of sense. But once I speak the first few words out, then suddenly God gives me the rest, you know. But she said, it's always a scary thing. So those are some do's and don'ts with the Holy Spirit. And I hope if these are not active in your life now, you'll put them active into your life so that you are getting on with the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we do not use the gifts that he gives us. So I want to define a few categories and see if you can see yourself in any of these. So number one is, I'm making full use of my spiritual gifts. I'm involved in Christian ministry, and I know that I'm making full use of my spiritual gifts. If you're able to say that, then that's fantastic. And do not think you're boasting, because you're only boasting in what God is doing. Right? I'm making full use of my spiritual gifts. I'm making occasional use of my spiritual gifts. So some of the time I'm serving God, a lot of the time maybe I'm not. I don't think I have any spiritual gifts. I'm not sure if I've got enough faith. I'm not sure if God can use me in his power. This one sounds a bit like that one, but it's a little bit different. I can't possibly ever have any spiritual gifts. That's the person who feels I'm limited to what I can do. I'm not like those, you know, spiritual ones. I just come to church, go home, and... But that's not the case. The Holy Spirit is there for all of us. And you may not look the same as the spiritual ones, but God can use you mightily and powerfully, and he will. In different ways, maybe. And then here's an important one. I used to use my spiritual gifts with faith and with confidence, but I don't anymore. Yeah. And that can speak to some of us who have in the past been really going for it with God, but things have drifted a bit. Okay, so I wonder if you recognize yourself under one of those, and at the end of this morning, after we pray for you, anoint you with oil, pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you, you'll be walking out of here either heading towards or actually at that first one, making full use of my spiritual gifts. We are living stones being built into a spiritual temple, and we can't, that won't happen unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are equipped with and are using the gifts that God has for us. And if you're a Christian, God has spiritual gifts for you. So would you like one? How many would you like? Good, because God's got more. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to pray now, actually, before I carry on, because I want you just to focus on God right now, okay? So just maybe close your eyes and focus on God. Recognize that he loves you. Recognize you are a child of God. Remind yourself, I am a child of God. God's got more for you. God's got gifts of the Holy Spirit for you. Now just focus on God. Know that he's focusing on you. And know that his desire is to give you all of himself and every gift that he has for you. So Father God, I pray you'd come now, speak into our hearts and minds. Come now, Holy Spirit, move amongst us in your might and power. We do indeed welcome you here. You are our best friend. We cannot live without you. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much that you pour out yourself amongst us, into our innermost beings. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you have gifts for each one of us. Move amongst us this morning. Fill us with yourself and equip us with your gifts. And strengthen us with faith and expectation that we might be bold to use your gifts. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, there's three basic questions that I'm just going to deal with very briefly, because I think we probably know the answers. So basically, what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special grace conferred by God on an individual, which enables and empowers the individual to perform a service for God effectively. And a very important thing to say about this is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given freely. You do not have to earn them. You do not have to be spiritual enough, good enough, servant-hearted enough, anything enough. Yeah? You just have to love God and love Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is freely available to you. So would you like one? How many would you like?
Well,
God's got more, you see, so you can. Okay. All right. So why spiritual gifts? This brings me on to that Ephesians passage, okay? So spiritual gifts are given to imbue every part of the church's life and ministry and church members' individual ministries with the power of God to change lives, to make a difference, so that the Holy Spirit in us affects changes, you know? People change their minds, you know, ideas and thoughts they've had for many, many years, they change because the power of God works as you and I speak to them. All right. Now, Ephesians 4, 11 onwards speaks about it was Jesus who gave ministries to the church, and that's every ministry. It lists five, but it actually means every ministry. And the reason in verses 12 and 13, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so that's the church becoming mature, attaining to the full measure of fullness of Christ. Right? That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And in just the same way as we saw at Pentecost, the main thing about the Holy Spirit was what he came to do, in the same way it's for us as individuals and for us as a church. It's about what he came to do. And it's a powerful picture that Paul paints here of a church becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's why we need him. That's why we can't do without him. And that's why we can't do without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So would you like one?
Yes.
How many would you like?
Yes.
That's good, because God's got more. Okay. So last basic question, how do I receive spiritual gifts? Okay. And after this, we're going to be thinking about receiving them or developing them if we've already received them. So how do I receive? First of all, believe. Know that I am a child of God. Know that he longs to give me spiritual gifts. Yeah. No matter how young I am, no matter how old I am, I think the youngest one in here is Alexander today, and the oldest one in here is, I don't know. But for all of us, the Holy Spirit, believe the Holy Spirit loves you, wants to give you. Secondly, eagerly desire. Do not consider spiritual gifts as an added extra. Eagerly desire. I want those gifts. Have you noticed? That's why I keep asking you. Because I want you to keep reaffirming, I want those gifts, and I want as many as God got for me. Eagerly desire. Right. Thirdly, ask. And I've identified three different ways that we can ask. One is we can ask for ourselves. Lord God, may I speak in tongues? Give me the gift of speaking in tongues. We can ask for ourselves. And we can ask for any gift that you want, by the way, because usually it's God who puts the desire in your heart in the first place. You can have prayer to receive. That's what we're going to do. We're going to anoint with oil. We're going to pray that you receive. And you can also receive as you go, which means that you sign up to do a Christian ministry, and you find that God empowers you as you get on and do it. Yeah. Often, of course, you've prayed about it first anyway. But God gives gifts to those who are involved in Christian ministry. You may feel you've got no spiritual gifts, but if you're involved in Christian ministry, you almost certainly have because God will have, you know, through your obedience and your faithfulness, your heart's desire to make a difference in whatever you're doing, God will have equipped you with the Holy Spirit and with the gifts. So then the last thing we do, of course, is we step out in faith. There's not a whole lot of point receiving these gifts unless we then say, right, what does God want me to do? What do I think God wants me to do? And you can pray about it. God can show you. You can come and talk to me about it, or you can talk to others about it, just to see what does God want me to do. And it could well be God wants you to carry on doing what you're doing, but just know that He's equipped you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and which means that what you're doing, He can change things, change people's lives through it. Okay. So let's get back to that question. Oh, sorry, some gifts you can have. Wisdom, gift of wisdom. Yeah. My favorite example of wisdom that God gave me one time was when I was with a group of young people. I was working for Youth of Christ, a group of young people, and there was a girl there who said, oh, God can't do... I was saying to them, oh, God can do anything, you know. And she said, oh, God can't change, you know, what my issue is. And I said, oh, what's that then? She said, I want to be a boy. I thought, oh, heck, what do I say now? Help! I did that. That's a really good prayer to pray, by the way. Help! And I had this brilliant idea. I didn't realize I was so clever. And I said, God can change. God can solve that problem for you. And all her friends thought, oh, really? Oh, well, you know. And so they said, what? How could he do that then? And I said, he can change your heart so that you really appreciate being a girl. And they all went, oh, yeah. And I patted myself on the back. But that was an example of God's wisdom. So I thought, where did that come from? I don't know. Made me think of that. But God gives us wisdom. And then, of course, He gives us words of knowledge where we know something that we didn't know before, which can change a person's life. Gives us special faith sometimes. Gives us gifts of healing where we pray someone and they get healed. A great story of Phil's hearing has come back after Bob prayed for him. Well, hey. Gifts of prophecy, that speaking in tongues that we've mentioned. Gifts of evangelism, where people you speak to become Christians. Gifts of caring, gifts of hospitality, lots of other gifts. So, would you like one?
Yes.
How many would you like?
No.
Oh, that's good, because God's got more. Yeah. Okay. So, what are you doing with the Holy Spirit and His gifts? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So shortly we're going to have communion, and then we're going to pray for you that you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And can I just say, by the way, after we've anointed you with oil, if you would like a bit further prayer, then we're going to have a couple of prayer ministers over here, a couple at the back. So you can either come to over here or go to the back and just have them pray for you again, which is not a bad thing. Okay? Right. Let me pray now. Father God, we praise and thank you for all that you've got for us. Come now, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Come now amongst us, in your might, in your power. Do all that you've got to do for us and with us and in us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.